So I woke this morning to my watch's vibration alarm. Max got up and joined me to see if there's a chance of early brekkie. We went for a walk and I heard a rooster waking up his people and all the people nearby. The sound of sirens woke up a young mom this morning in South Chicago. The hustle and bustle of Central Park West roused a young man from his slumber. The instinct of feeding time woke a baby in Bangkok. The excitement of shredding fresh powder woke the bros in Switzerland. While the promise of a gnarly surf session called out the Dawn Patrol in Australia's Gold Coast. While a barista headed to work on the Sunset Strip, a Milwaukee plumber prepared to fix a faucet. A wife in Omaha made her husband's lunch, while a dad in van rocked the baby so mama could sleep in. It turns out we're not so different. We're not so different, you and I. You and me? You and I? I don't know which one. But we're not so different, right? We all wake up with some type of routine. We have some kind of need, right? A drink of water, a pair of glasses, a couple Tylenol. We all wake up with a need. And we're not so different. The world is full of people who look different and think differently and speak different language, but we're not so different. Most of us have a favorite sweatshirt. Shout out Houston Oilers. Or we have a favorite t-shirt that's almost a cleaning rag. Man, I had that in elementary school. What I would give to have a Mount Dunkmore shirt back. Many of us have a lovey-dovey voice for our pets that only they know. We'd be embarrassed if anybody else heard what a good bubba they are. We have a go-to Whataburger order. What is it? Number 7, that's a kid's meal. I only know it because at 9:30, someone else said number 7. And I said, what is it? And they said, that's a kid's meal. And I said, I don't think you can do that. I'll take a kid's meal and a senior coffee. We have a lucky fishing lure, right? Tequila Sunrise, a Banjo Minnow. Nobody knows any of these, okay? A best model truck. It's whatever you say it is. I like what you like. And that's what we'll go with. We have a favorite snack, sweet or salty. Who wants sweet? Salty. Both equal opportunity snackers. Yes. But we're not so different. We all forget where we park. We lose the remote, right? We cheer our team and we love our people because we're not so different. We all have hopes for the future. We all have regrets from the past. Right, we all have an aching feeling that something is just not quite right. We all have a desire to belong, but the Bible says that God put eternity in the human heart. So all of us struggle to feel settled in this world. So we're not so different. Right, the future seems uncertain and today feels like a strain, so we ask, is there hope for tomorrow? Like, is there help for today? We all ask these questions on some level because we're not so different. And maybe that's what unites us most as human beings, that we all have a need. We all have a need for help today and hope for tomorrow. And our text today tells us that we have exactly that. And it is all found in Jesus, and that it is only Jesus who meets our greatest need. So if you'll stand, I'm going to read our text. We are in a series in the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 18. It says, "And furthermore, it is not angels who will control the future world we are talking about. For in one place the scriptures say, 'What are mere mortals that you should think about them, or a son of man that you should care for him?' Yet for a little while you made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things." And now when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put under their authority. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels, and because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters, for he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. And he also said, I will put my trust in him. That is, I and the children God has given me. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood. The Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could become our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. So the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. You can be seated. So this text begins with the word furthermore, as in a thought is being continued, right? The author has us on the hook. He wants to make sure that hook is good and set. So he is reinforcing the idea that Jesus is our help for today and our hope for tomorrow. That's the big catch through the entire book of Hebrews. So let's say this together. Jesus is our help for today and our hope for tomorrow. So what that means is Jesus is walking with you now, today. Right? He sustains you when you're tired. He lifts your head when it hangs low. He will take your burden when your shoulders are heavy. And while he's doing that, he's giving you hope for tomorrow, and he is doing that from his throne in heaven where he is seated. And he is seated because his work of forgiveness and salvation are complete. So he offers hope for tomorrow. He offers a life that is filled with a future and a hope. And he is our help for today and our hope for tomorrow. And today's scripture reading was a little confusing, but we're going to look at three ways it tells us this happens. That Jesus took on flesh to defeat death, that he took on sin to save us, and that he took on suffering to help us. So first, Jesus took on flesh to defeat death. He left the perfect paradise of heaven to come here, to this world. I don't know how long you've been alive. This is not paradise. It was not intended to be, and it is not. So why would he leave paradise to come here? I struggle to leave the comfort of my home on Sunday to go to Walmart. We got to have that picture. That one's funny. Yep. So why would Jesus leave heaven to come here? This text gives a very clear, simple answer. Because it was the only way. Verse 14, only as a human being could Jesus die. Only by dying could he break the power of the devil. Only in this way could he set free all who've lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. So what that's saying is Jesus is God. God cannot die. So Jesus had to become a human being. Flesh and blood, fatigue and boredom, hunger and sorrow, laughter and tears. He had to become a human being like us so that he could die, because that was the only way, so that he could defeat death. And he took on death when he died on the cross. And then he defeated death when he was resurrected back to life. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that when our dying bodies, ours, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? These bodies will die. But since Jesus took on flesh to defeat death, when we trust him as our Savior, he will transform them into bodies that will never die because he took the victory away from death. Next, Doing that, taking on flesh and becoming human required Jesus' humility. Philippians 2, Jesus gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. This is why this is important, because Jesus was humbled because he was humiliated for you. He laid aside his glory for you. Right? The Creator came here and joined his creation for you. Right? The member of the perfect, beautiful Trinity was born into a flawed human family for you. He was humiliated to face and to defeat death for you because he loves you. So next, Jesus took on sin to save us. He took on flesh to defeat death. He took on sin to save us. That should raise a couple of questions. What is sin? What does that mean? And how are we saved from it? So this definition we've been using is sin is anything that makes you further from God. It could be a behavior that's hurtful to you or someone else that wouldn't be a lot of argument. It's sin, right? It obviously makes you further from God. Or it could be the amount of pride you have in what a good person you are. Right? This one, this hurtful behavior you're choosing, you're saying, I choose this because I want this more than I want God right now. So you're obviously creating distance between yourself and God. This one, saying, I'm a good person. That's saying, I don't need God. I've got it. Right? So both of those extremes make us further from God. So how are we saved from that? Because there is no good that will ever be good enough. Right? We are only saved by God's grace. So our good behavior and the pride that creates is only pushing us away. So how are we saved from that? Verse 17. It was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. So when Jesus took flesh, he took our sin. He took it to the cross. He died a death in our place. When he went to the grave, he took our sin with him. He came back to life. When he did so, he folded up the sheets he had with him. He walked away from your sin that he took, and he said, I don't need these things anymore. I'm going to leave these here. And he walked out. So he left your sin in the grave, and you are forgiven. You. For that big sin. Right? The big one. Maybe the one only you know about. You are forgiven because Jesus took on our sin to save us. And in the Old Testament, the high priest was kind of like a referee between God and the people. Not a perfect metaphor, but you still can follow. He knew all the rules. He made sacrifices between God and the people according to those rules so that people would be forgiven. So when Jesus took on our sin, he became the final high priest. His death, his sacrifice, was the final sacrifice that took away our sins and restored our relationship with God. So we're going to see later in Hebrews 9, it says, once for all time, Jesus appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his death as a sacrifice. So he took on our sin to restore our relationship with God, helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. And finally, Jesus took on suffering to help us. And maybe you came this morning feeling like you are well acquainted with suffering. Maybe you wrestle because you trusted Jesus and you feel like since then you or the people you loved have just been covered in suffering. How do you make sense of that? I know some really incredibly faithful people that I feel like it's one thing after the next. The Bible even says many are the affliction of the righteous. Better part of that verse, but God delivers them out of all of them. So don't separate those two. But how do we make sense of that? Or maybe the reason you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior is because your life is just filled with suffering. Well, if you feel like you know suffering that deeply, you also know Jesus that deeply. Because he took on suffering to know it so he could help you. Right? He took on suffering to help us. Let me help you understand it. In the 1968 November-December issue of her comic book, Wonder Woman laid aside her skills and her abilities and left her home to come to Earth. She said, I willingly relinquish all skills and condemn myself to the travails of mortals. No one in their right mind would compare Wonder Woman and Jesus. I'm not doing that. But Jesus did experience human suffering. He did condemn himself to the travails of mortals so he could help us. So he would know suffering. His strength is made perfect in our weakness because he experienced human weakness. This verse should be such an encouragement, verse 18. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, Jesus is able to help us when we are being tested. He took on suffering so that he could help us. Verse 17 says he was made like us in every way. He was humiliated. He suffered. He sacrificed. He was tested. He even endured death. He was like us in every way, which means he understands and he cares about everything. There's nothing too big or too small that he doesn't care about and can't help with. Right from the biggest things, he cries with you when you lose someone you love. He sits on the bathroom floor with you when another month ends with a negative pregnancy test. Right in the same way that he grieved as a human, his heart aches when your feelings are hurt. Right when you feel lonely, when you feel unseen, he cares and he knows and he loves you. When you're afraid, when you're left out, right? When your jump shot is off, when you can't stick the back tuck. I did one last service, but it's crowded up here now and I don't want to embarrass anybody. When you just can't stop. That was distracting for a second. Pretend like you didn't say that. When you just can't stop the habit that you hate, he cares. And he offers to help you. Maybe try taking him up on that offer. Christy and I used to work in an addiction recovery ministry, and we have some friends who we didn't know on the other side, we knew on this side. In like decades of wild stories and hard things. My favorite question to ask was, well, what changed? And a lot of them, you know, it was just faithfully surrendering a daily process to God and growing in that. And a couple of them were miraculous. I just asked for help and I really meant it. And in that moment, it changed. Not that that's going to happen every time, but he offers to help. And that could be your story. So maybe just take him up on his offer to help. Because he endured suffering to help. And he offers his peace and his patience and his strength. He knows everything about you. He knows, he cares. And here's an incredible truth. He's not embarrassed by you. He's not ashamed of the things you've done, right? Now, most of us, we have a friend or a family member we know a whole lot about, therefore we are embarrassed by them. There it is. Right? We're embarrassed by them. But Jesus knows everything about you, and he is not embarrassed by you. He is not ashamed of you. Verse 11, that is why, because we have the same Father, Jesus is not ashamed to call you his brothers and his sisters. He is not ashamed of you, so don't hide your struggles from him. Don't hide your struggles, right? The Bible is filled with this idea. Job wanted to argue with God. In the book of Job, he said, I wish I knew where God was because I want to argue with him. The Psalms are filled with David's complaints against God. Jacob literally wrestled with God. Jesus dreaded his own suffering, but he didn't run away from the Father. He drew near him. God took on flesh and came here so that we could go to him. So don't hide your struggles from God. Take them to him. Right? Jesus came here so we could go to him. He is not ashamed of you, so don't hide your struggles. Take them to him. So years ago, I had a friend who was a high-ranking executive at a major international pest control company. And after his final interview with the big wigs and the high rise, they offered him the job and then they handed him a hard hat. And he was kind of admiring what he just assumed was an ironic decoration for his new fancy corner office. And the company's CEO said, okay, next few weeks you are riding in a truck spraying yards because I want you to understand the people you'll be leading. That's why Jesus came here. That is why he came to take on flesh, to be a person, to understand our suffering, to know the human experience. So he knows it, and he loves you, and he cares. He meets you in your struggle. He meets you in your testing. He meets you in your suffering, and then he leads you into a life filled with a future and a hope in him. Because only Jesus took on flesh to defeat death. Only Jesus took your sin to save you. Only Jesus willingly took on suffering to help you. Only Jesus meets our greatest need. Only Jesus is true help today and true hope for tomorrow. Amen? Amen. I really want to help us apply some of this. So we're going to have a time of prayer. You can close your eyes and bow your head if you'd like to, whatever you need to do to focus and pray. And I'm just going to talk us through a few of these points and help us process and talk to God about it. Don't want us to just rush away from this too quick. So God, we ask that you would, in your mercy and your goodness and your faithfulness, as you promised to be with your people when they are gathered, would you do that today, God, that we recognize you alone are our help and our hope? So we trust that, we cling to that, and pray that you would help us to allow you to change us by the truth of your word now. So the text today said Jesus came to save those who are slaves to the fear of dying. I think another thing that unites us as humans is we will die. It's natural to have a fear of the unknown. But Jesus says he is the solution. In him there is no death. He transforms this body into an eternal body. So if you have a fear of dying, God, would you meet us in that fear to truly trust Jesus, that he has defeated death, that he has done it for us, that he has taken our sin, restored our relationship with you, and in him we are set free from that fear. And our text also says Jesus came so he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. And sin is being separated from God. So I want to take a moment and allow us to sit with the truth. Are we far from God? Have we wandered away from him? Are we angry with him right now? Are we questioning him right now? Are we choosing some behavior or something or some habit or some person over him? And the Bible says if we are far from him, he leads us back to him through his kindness. He doesn't yell at us and in anger demand us to return, but it says in his kindness, he leads us to repent, which means we go back to him, we turn back to him. So if you need to confess you are far from him, that you need to turn back to him, take a moment and do that. We'll end with this, that the text tells us Jesus was suffered and tested so he could help us when we are tested. So where are you being tested? Where is the place that you think, how did it get this bad? What's going on in your life right now that you think, I can't do this? Where are you being tested? And then take a moment and tell God about it. Even if you're confused or angry why he has not seemed to have done more, tell him. Don't hide your struggle and your test from God. Take it to him. God, I confess, I've gotten pretty good at looking for help and searching for hope. I've looked a lot of places and come up empty and disappointed and hurt. And when I come to you, I receive you. I receive all your promises. I receive the fullness of your character, of your goodness. So thank you that we can come to you, that you are not embarrassed by us or ashamed of us. You are not angry. In your kindness, you draw us back. You pursue us with your love. You follow us with your goodness and your mercy. So God, we come to you by the very nature of being human and coming to you in need. And thank you that our greatest needs are met in Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. God, you are good. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.